Resulam, Volume 2, Vayikra, page 166. What is that law and sentence is the name of God in the work? The Zohar says, it is a law that Malchut is called so, and the decrees of the Torah are included in it. And you will observe my words. My word, which is Zeranpit, that the same law, which is Malchut, clings to it. And they're joined together, higher ones and lower ones, meaning the laws in Malchut, and the sentences in Zeranpin. And that is the rule of their holy name, because law and sentence is the name of God. And you made them. He asked, since you already said, walk and observe, why and do? In reply, I said, he who performs the mitzvot of the Torah and follows his way, it's as though he did it above. God said, as though he made me. Therefore, you made them law and sentence which are Zeran Pin and Malchut. We have to understand what it means when he says that he who observes the mitzvot of the Torah and follows his way, it's as though he made him. We also have to understand the difference between when he says he who performs the mitzvot of the Torah to he who says and follows his way. Meaning that there are two things, two separate things. Meaning that although he performs the mitzvah of the Torah, but if he does not follow his way, we don't say that he made God. So what is the meaning of follows his way? We also have to understand when it says, such as that, Rabbi Shimon said, and David made a name. Did David made for him? And replies, because David followed the path of the Torah and performed the mitzvot of the Torah, it's as though he worked, he made a name, actually made a name. That's why he said, and you made them. Meaning, if you try and make them and correct the holy name properly, all the blessings above will be in you, corrected. We must also ask, what is the meaning of that David made for God a name? Meaning, in relation to whom did he make that name? Should God make need someone to make him to give him a good name about the creatures, towards the creatures? That by that he'll have a good name, then they'll respect him. Such a thing is fitting of the creatures, that a person can give, can respect another person. How can you say that about God, that he needs a good name among the creatures? We must also understand how, by following the path of the Torah and performing the mitzvot of the Torah, by that God gets a good name. To understand all that, we have to know what is it about the whole of creation. Meaning, to what purpose was creation created? The answer is that it is His will to bestow to His creatures. Turns out that God got a name of a giver who gives goodness and pleasure to creation. That creation is called receiver, and receiver must be in need, otherwise there is no place for reception. And because of that, the will to receive bounty and delight and pleasure is the will to receive bounty and pleasure is called he who with a need. And the matter of a need is not relevant with the Creator, but the Creator is completely whole. That's why the creation is something from nothing. After that need that was created and was that is not there in the Creator. And since the matter of need is not present with the Creator, it turns out that when a person feels himself needing, he's already in change of form, relating in conversing with the Creator. And when he fills up that need, although he has a certain amount of equality form, that he does not need anymore right now, but by that he is now the receiver and the Creator is the giver. It turns out that there is no equality of form anymore. But through that change of form, he becomes separated from the Creator. And in order to correct that, meaning that the person, that man is called creature, that he needs, in order for him to equalize in form, he must be complete, meaning to receive from the Creator everything. And when he receives, he again is in change of form. Then there is this correction called receiving in order to bestow, meaning that although by nature he has a desire to receive from something that can give him pleasure, he still overcomes himself and does not want to take the pleasure, only because he wants to bestow contentment to his Maker. And all the pleasure that he can say that the Creator enjoys it, meaning at preserving his thought and his will, that he is will to bestow to his creatures, meaning all the pleasures that we can say that the Creator enjoys, that we receive from him, only by that we receive. That's why when a person comes to that degree, that he can make his Maker content, he can give him pleasure by receiving bounty and pleasure from him. And therefore now there is a quality of form on both sides, meaning A, that there's no need in the lower one, since he now receives all the delight and pleasure from God, and B, that now he is bestowing as the Creator, meaning that now that he receives pleasure, it is not for him, but for God. But for his own good, he is willing to give up all the pleasures. It turns out that now there are two things in one, meaning the correction of creation and the purpose of creation. And that is called mating by striking. That by striking, it becomes unified. Meaning, the meaning of striking in spirituality is two contradicting things. That each rejects what the other wants. Meaning the Creator wants the lower one to receive delight and pleasure, meaning to bestow. And the lower one wants equality of form, meaning to bestow above. It turns out that they contradict each other. And by that, they become unified, meaning that each takes the other's opinion, meaning the higher one wants the lower ones to want to receive. The lower one receives, but only to the extent that he knows that everything he receives is only because the higher one wants it. It turns out that now he receives as the higher one wants, and he bestows as he wants, and there's no separation here. But they're both in one mind. And by the creature now having vessels of bestowal, he receives in them delight and pleasure, and then it is apparent that the name of God, the Creator, is benevolent, good and benevolent, because before it is revealed, it is called divinity in the dust, meaning that everyone suffers in the world because there are no appropriate vessels to receive the good and pleasure. That's why the low ones have to believe that the Creator leads the world in goodness and benevolence. That's why his name, called the name of the Creator, which is good and benevolent, revealed. It's not revealed. Whereas when the low ones receive, acquire the vessels of bestowal, then the name can be revealed. But now there's a tough question. How can a person receive those vessels? By nature, he is completely opposite. Man is born with vessels of reception only, meaning that he cannot do anything unless he gets some benefit. And with what can he now do something that is against his nature, meaning to bestow and not to receive for himself anything? Our sages said about that, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice. And by observing Torah and Mitzvot, we have to take two things. A, the act, of Torah and Mitzvot. B, the aim, meaning what he wants for observing Torah and Mitzvot. And the reward that a person should ask of God is that he'll follow his ways, meaning the ways of God. And what is the way of God? We should say that his way is to bestow to the creatures delight and pleasures. So should man be. He needs that all his concerns will be only to bestow to God, to please him, and not to worry about his own good, but only about God's benefit, good, as a creator who wants to bestow to his creatures. Since man is born with a nature of reception for himself, it is known that the creator wants to give to his creatures, but in order for that there has to be in a receiver a desire for it, otherwise he cannot enjoy. That's why the creator made the creatures with a desire to fill up their need, satisfy their need. And how can creatures follow his path? That the creatures too and the creatures too will be as bestowing as the Creator. And in order to correct that, God said, I've created the evil inclination, meaning the will to receive for himself alone. And I've created the Torah as a spice, meaning by the remedy of the Torah, he gets the strength to overcome evil, and we can perform acts only in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. It turns out that it's not enough that a person observes Torah and Mitzvot, but he should also aim why he observes Torah and Mitzvot, meaning what is the reward that he demands of God to pay him for observing Torah and Mitzvot. There are many aims about that. As it says in the Zohar, that some want for observing Torah and Mitzvot reward in this world, and some want reward in the next world. And mainly what man should want is to receive reason that will oblige him to observe Torah and Mitzvot because he is a Lord Master, meaning that he observes Torah and Mitzvot because he takes great pleasure in serving a great king. We learn from here that the reason that a person observes Torah and Mitzvot is in order for God to give him the strength to bestow, something he does not have by nature. And Torah and Mitzvot is a remedy to attain that. Therefore, what is the advice that we can go against nature? The answer is that for that we were given the Torah as a spice, meaning that by the Torah we'll attain the force to the strength to bestow. It turns out, what should a person aim when he observes Torah and Mitzvot? Meaning, just as the way of God is to bestow, so does man want God to give him for his work that strength. Now we can interpret what we asked. What is it that the Zohar says? But he who performs the mitzvot of the Torah and follows his path. And we asked, what does that give us that he says follows his path? After a man has already performed mitzvot of the Torah. The meaning is that it's not enough that he performs them, but he should aim that the reward he wants for, that he wants some reward for observing the mitzvot of the Torah. And what kind of reward does he want? That he'll be able to follow the path of God, just as the way of God is to bestow to the creatures, that they'll enjoy, so does man want to be able and to have a desire to bestow contentment to his Maker, and ask God to give him reward for his work. And that should be as in the corporate world, that a man works and looks while he works, when will he be paid? So it is in God's work, in observing Torah and Mitzvot. Man should anticipate when will he receive the reward for the payment for his effort, meaning when will he attain the vessels of bestowal. Thus we can interpret what we asked when the Zohar says, and David made a name, and he says that because David seemingly followed the path of the Torah, he made a name, actually, literally. That's why it says, and you made them, to correct the holy name properly. And we asked, should God need to have a good name among the creatures? This is fitting for a man. About a man, you can say that he wants to have a good name, but not about the Creator. And can you say that when a person walks into a chicken house, he wants to receive, to have a good name among the hens, to be respected? Much less with regard to the Creator. What value do the creatures have relating to Him? And we can say that the Creator wants to have a good name among the creatures, to be respected. So what is the meaning of, and David made a name by following the path of the Torah, meaning that God should give a good name to, that man should give a good name to God. But since the Creator wants to give delight and pleasure to the creatures in order for them to enjoy, therefore if the creatures enjoy that the Creator gives them the bounty, then the creatures give him a good name, meaning they say that God is good and benevolent. That's why the meaning of that name that God gets from the creatures, which is good and benevolent, he doesn't need that name to be respected, but he needs it for them to feel that name. Meaning, that name is not for God, that he needs that name, but it is for the creatures. Meaning that the Creator wants the creatures to attain it, to perceive him that way. Meaning that it is a sign that they enjoy their lives. And the proof is that they say that the Creator is called good and benevolent. That's why there is a difference between a person and the rest of the creatures. A person wants to have a name in order to be rewarded for it. And his reward is A, that the creatures will respect him. Because he does good to people. B, sometimes a person does good to others, and for that he'll be rewarded in the next world. Whereas the name that God wants to be given, the name of good and benevolent, is for the creatures. Meaning, when the creatures call him good and benevolent, they enjoy him. Otherwise, they would not call him good and benevolent. But since on the side of the correction of creation, in order for the creatures to cleave to God, when they receive the good and the delight and pleasure, then the person must receive everything in order to bestow. And since a person is born by nature with the will to bestow, that's why we're given Torah and Mitzvot. Through them we can exit the authority of the will to receive for himself and do everything in order to bestow. And that's when he says, because David followed the path of the Torah, meaning that by the path of the Torah he corrected himself and attained vessels of bestowal, that in those vessels comes the light from above, and the person attains the aspect of good and benevolent, meaning that he attains God's true name, called good and benevolent, because he now received the good by correcting himself through Torah. And that's the meaning of David made a name, meaning that he attained to perceive, he perceived the name of God called good and benevolent. But he says that law is Malchut and sentence is Zeranpin. That's the law of the holy name, because law and sentence is the name of God, and that is, and you made them. We have to understand that, since he says that law is Malchut and sentence is Zeranpin, then they are two separate names. How can he say that law and sentence is God's name? They are two names. Zeranpin, called God, and Malchut, called divinity. So,
Yadua,
So therefore, why does he say that law and sentence is the name of God? It is known that there is no light without a vessel, meaning the purpose of creation, which is to bestow to his creatures. He created in the creatures a will to receive pleasure, and that pleasure, that desire, that will is called Malchut. As he writes in Talmud Esos Sfirot, Malchut is called that because that from Malchut is drawn a decisive leadership. And in complete, a decisive leadership, in complete command, as is the fear of Malchut. It turns out that the bounty that the Creator wants to give to the creatures is called Malchut. And the Sfira of Malchut is the vessel that receives the light in each and every degree. And generally, Bala Sulam said that the light is called God. And the vessel is called that receives the light is called Malchut, or divinity. And that vessel is called divinity because the light dwells within the vessel. And he said that that's the meaning of what the Zohar says, that he is in Malchut and she is the vessel, meaning that it is one thing, light and vessel. But there's a change of form between the light and the vessel, between the receiver and the bestower. And that change of form is called separation. And since all creatures are extended from Malchut, that Malchut is called the assembly of Israel, which is the whole of the souls, in order for Malchut to be able to receive the bounty for the creatures, we have to unite Malchut to equalize with the light. And for that we were given Torah and Mitzvot, that through them we can come to equality of form with the Creator. Meaning that all those who observe Torah and Mitzvot and aim by that they'll receive a desire to do everything in order to bestow contentment to his Maker. Meaning as a Creator is bestows to the creatures, just as the creatures want to bestow contentment to the Creator. By that, each and every one corrects the root of his soul, which is Malchut, to be in order to bestow. But that is called unification, meaning that he unites the light and the vessel to equalize in form. Then the light comes in the vessel, which is good and benevolence, and comes down to the creatures. As we can interpret what we asked, when he says that law and sentence is the name of God, there are two names, Zeranpin and Malchut, which are law and sentence. But as we said above, the Zeranpin, called sentence, is the light that is revealed. But that is the bounty. And Malchut, which is the receiver, that should receive everything in order to bestow, that is called law. Meaning that although a person once sees that he is born, he is created with the will to receive for himself, and created with mind and knowledge, that a person should weigh everything in his mind, what he wants to do. And here in the work of God, he is told that he shouldn't look at what his mind tells him, but he should accept it as law, above reason. But, although he is created by nature, with the will to receive, still man has to believe in the words of our sages who said that man should cleave to the virtues of the Creator, as it says, as he is merciful, so should you be merciful. Turns out that by receiving the Torah and Mitzvot as law, although it is above reason, meaning that the body cannot understand it, by faith above reason a man can come to equality of form. Meaning that each person, when he observes Torah and Mitzvot with the intent to bestow, by that he unites Zeranpin, called sentence, meaning the light, and the bounty with Malchut, which is the vessel that should receive the light, that his intent will be to bestow as the light. That is called the unification of God and the divinity. And then the name is one, meaning that the two names of Zeranpin, called sentence, and his name called Malchut, that they'll be one, that they'll become one. Thus we can interpret what it says, that he who performs the mitzvot of the Torah and follows his path, it's as though he made him above. God said, it's as though he made me. Therefore, you made them law and sentence, which are Zeralpin and Malchut. Meaning that by observing the mitzvot of the Torah and following his path, by that he causes in the root of his soul, which is Malchut, above, to be in order to bestow a Zeralpin, which is called unification. It turns out that the meaning of and do them, the aim is to make that unification of Zeralpin and Malchut called law and sentence, and it is also called the unification of God and divinity, and that is the doing that the creatures should do. It turns out that the meaning is that there, since there are two names, that's why the creatures need to make that unification to be one, and when all the creatures reach their perfection, meaning that they'll all be corrected in the root of their souls, then we will be able to say, on that day, the Lord shall be one and his name one. And that is the doing. And it says, and do them. What is law and sentence? These two things come from judgment, really. And will receive in order to be in an eternal state worthy of its task. It must take upon itself corrections or limitations and changes. That is law and sentence. The truth is that everything we think that we do against our will turns out that it's the opposite. Person must attain God's name, that He's good, that He's benevolent, that He's merciful, and so on. The words are not accurate. When a person attains the holy names, it works differently according to equality of form he can attain it. That's why the attaining of the holy names is called that he takes it upon himself to attain the holy names. When he says merciful, what does it mean merciful? That he himself becomes merciful. If in order to attain another attribute, he should adopt that attribute himself. Everything is attained according to equality of form. So, the attainment of the name comes when a person himself becomes as God. So, a person who attains, he himself receives these attributes. Meaning, what the Torah tells us to attain the holy names, taste and see that God is good, the taste and see turns man to good and to be as God. Because God is the whole of the light dressed in the 613 corrections that he performs on his desires. They are called 613 mitzvot. And in each mitzvah, there is a certain specific light, specific to that correction, and when he finishes all of them, the light of the general creation is the light of the Creator. Bala Sulam writes that in one of his letters. Zeralpin, which is called sentence, and Malchut, which is called law. Law should be as a sentence. It should take upon itself the same attribute that Zeralpin has, above reason, meaning in a higher degree, meaning it should adopt a higher degree than our own, because the mind determines the essence of the degree. Therefore, we have to make the law be as a sentence, meaning that the same attributes in Zanpin will be as law from Malchut. Meaning as Malchut's own attributes. The unification between Zanpin and Malchut, between law and sentence, reveals all the attributes of the Creator in the creature. Any questions? I usually give an example that in order to receive a radio wave, you have to receive a wave within the radio itself. You have to create a wave that resembles the wave that comes from outside. Because outside there are millions of frequencies and waves. How is it that you receive a certain wave? You do it by creating a certain wavelength. The same wavelength that you want to receive from outside. And then, when you do it, what there is, the wave that is outside, you can receive it into the radio. Everything, all my organs are built, my eyes, my ears, are built to receive a certain frequency of waves outside, because they're made so that they're able to create the same frequencies as outside. There are nerves that can create frequencies. That allow me to receive things outside of me through equality of form. So how can I say that He is merciful if I don't equip myself in advance with that attribute of mercifulness? So I first have to correct myself, and according to that I'll feel that He is that way. We sometimes say about a person that doesn't have a heart. It's just that his emotions are not developed, that he doesn't understand when someone is in pain. If a baby sees an adult crying, he'll not be moved by it, because he's not developed. But when he grows and develops his own vessel, and he will see for himself what it means, then he'll be able to sympathize. Now, how do we develop that sensor to receive spiritual influence? We're under a pile of benevolence and we don't feel a thing. It's because that sensation is not developed in us. We're like babies. We can't perceive what He gives. That's the concealment. The concealment is in us, in our sixth sense, which is not yet developed. To develop it, that is the wisdom of Kabbalah. To learn how to receive what He gives. How do we do it? Only through light that reforms. When we study, we awaken the surrounding lights that reform men, making finer, more sensitive. And then you begin to feel, according to how the light reforms me, teaches me, gives me this distinction, that distinction, like you teach a baby. But I want to do it fast. It takes a baby 20 years. Sometimes it takes a person thousands of years. But I want to do it fast. So I awaken the surrounding light to do it fast. Not by natural pace. I want to do it in 5 years, in 10 years maybe. I want faster than that, but it's hard. So what I want is to hasten that development of that sense. So I should attract as much surrounding light as I can. That's my work. And the faster he teaches me, each time there'll be changes in me, phenomena. According to that, I'll learn faster. I want to move from state to state as fast as possible. And then I'll come faster to a state where I have enough distinctions inside, and I'll be able to perceive the wavelength of outside, the spiritual wavelength. Each day we have more distinctions, things we're indifferent to. Before, we just couldn't grasp them in that sixth sense. Now that the sixth sense is developing in each and every one of us, even though it's not yet at the threshold of opening into spirituality, but still we feel certain changes in it. It develops and there are distinctions in it. It's called the soul. That we actually develop it through our activity. And only in that, in developing our soul, a person has free choice and he has to do it himself. The light from above will not come to you if you don't deliberately want it to come and correct your soul. And he'll give it distinctions, sensitivity to sense the spiritual world. It'll give you pain, so that you feel that you need it, more and more in need of it. But he'll never correct you without you asking for it, raising man. A soul cannot develop without the work of man. What is the work? Prayer. Plea. The light corrects the soul. And according to that, according to the attributes that you begin to feel in your soul, you grasp the attributes of the Creator. If you correct some quality, some attribute of the 620 attributes of the soul, in that corrected attribute, you feel the Creator. The mitzvah that you perform, the act in that corrected attribute, in that you're unified with the Creator, you say that He feels that attribute. The light fills the vessel. We ask for things all the time. We ask. It depends on what a person wants is what he prays for, what he wants in his heart. Because my heart is connected with the Creator without any mediators. So if I feel a desire to rest, to eat, to steal, take fancy, all these desires are immediately felt by the Creator. According to that, in response, I get correction. Correction of direction. For various means, internal, external means, but all in all, through both systems, internal and external, he slowly teaches me which desire is correct. Where is my work? It is that I myself should look for which desires are correct. And then when I reach them, that they're already in my heart, that is called that I pray. What I feel, what I want, is my prayer, without having the ability to supervise it. The will is created before me, before I feel it, before I admit to its existence, before I can study it, detect it. It's there. Creation is a will to receive. That's why I can't change it. I can only detect what it is and how correct it is with relation to the purpose of creation, and seek advice. That this will that is not aimed correctly will change, but I do it through external measures. I can't go inside my heart and change it. I do it through external measures, like the book and the books, the group. What advice, what tricks? Very simple. If I look at something and I like it, so in order to change that desire, I begin to listen to music. Music brings me another desire. It might be a finer desire, but maybe it's not towards the goal. So I'll open a Kabbalah book. And I take a book that can affect me to give me a better aimed desire. And so on. That's how I, through environmental means, cause a change in the desire. But it's not that I myself can change it. The same desire that is in the heart is the plea. You don't need another measure to ask for something. I don't take it in my heart, put it in an envelope and send it in the mail. The will that's in the heart is immediately received by the Creator, because He and my heart are together, whether I like it or not. Everything I feel is called man. Through surrounding light, I can deliberately, by choice, correct my will to receive, to be better and better aimed towards the purpose of creation, purpose of life, and not to have it directed to false targets that will only waste my life. The surrounding light helps me aim my desire to it, because the surrounding light is the source of special waves that I want my heart to receive only those ways. And no other ways. There might be a million other ways, but I want that specific one. How do I do it? That surrounding light built in me the desire to it, to that frequency. When I want it, or when I want it for creation, it's not the same, but it's on the way. In the beginning, I just want to enjoy it, but later on, I detect what kind of pleasure I want. And then, after a while, the correction becomes a pleasure. And then the result of the correction, is bestowed to the Creator. The problem is that we have only one measure to attract the surrounding light to change us. And that is books. And the aim, when we learn, what is the aim? It's the desire in the heart. That desire is an artificial one. What does that mean? When I study, I sit and I want the surrounding light to correct me. If I really had that desire, it wouldn't have been an effort for me. They tell you that you have to make an effort. What does that mean? If I already want it, so where's the effort? The effort is to make it so that when I learn, when I study, the desire to be corrected, to absorb the surrounding light, to be changed by it, will determine everything. My studying, my thinking of what I study are only measures, means that I'll know what's written here, there. It is only in order to tie me to the topic, to be in that film, and when I'm in it, to choose what I want from it. If I open a book and I begin to study, they tell me about things that happen in the spiritual world or in me, I don't know. But all in all, what do I want out of it? I have to be prepared to demand it, and as correctly as possible. So the effort is before the study and during the study. You see that if we open Introduction to Talmud HaSfirot, Breaking the Iron Wall, chapter 17, he writes, therefore, the student is obliged before the study to fortify himself with faith in his God and to believe that he'll pay for your efforts, meaning that you want correction for your efforts and will aim his efforts to be for the mitzvot of the Torah, and through that he'll attain to, he'll be able to enjoy the light of the Torah. That his faith, meaning that his will to bestow, will be strengthened through that. That's before the study. We have to, that's the preparation. But before that, he says that our problem is In chapter 18, he says that the problem is not only before the study, to fortify myself with faith. He writes that, and if he is negligent in putting the effort when he studies Torah, or that it might be that he has made enough effort, but he was negligent in quality, meaning that he was not thinking while studying, to attain the letter of the Torah. Faith means the attribute of Bina. So you have efforts to make before you study and during study. And that's the main thing you should do. The rest is surrounded. You're asking, what does it mean to take into his heart that it says? What does it mean to say in my mouth that I want, but my heart doesn't want it? What can I do? The thing is that to say with your heart is not that you open your mouth and say it. It means that you perform external actions that help you change your heart. If you are impressed by your friends, if you listen to them, and God created man in such a way that the environment affects us, so I choose a better and better society, environment, better aimed towards the goal, and when I'm in it, I have to press it and make it continually more better and better aimed towards the goal, because that is really the single source that can affect me and change the desires in my heart. And that's called when I say the prayer in my mouth. In my mouth is where the screen is, that I can determine something by myself. But just saying it doesn't mean that. There's only one action we can do through which we can change the desire in the heart. That is to deliberately take in influence from outside. So I have to shut my ear and open it only at the right place and to the right things. And to be completely indifferent to other things. That's before we study. While we study, can I sustain my heart, keep it directed, oriented? I have to constantly want the light to come and correct me in order to be still. Past the first word, I forget about it. I'm into what I'm reading, and immediately I use my mind. How do I tie, if I want something out of my life, how do I tie these things together? So here too, I should listen to society. I can tell this myself, but it's especially comes from the society, that what it says in the book is about me. And what the book says, my soul really goes through them. That the 10 sefirot are the structure of the soul. And what I study is what happens in the soul. And when I study about what happens to me. I just don't feel it. I want to feel it. I want to understand it. Because if I tie myself to it, I'm entering eternal life. So I should constantly accustom myself to think that way. And then when I study, that desire will not be for knowledge, but will be to know what it says here about me. I tie the book with me. I don't just study about a book that speaks of a world outside of me. There are no worlds outside of me. They're all in me. All the worlds. Within my 620 desires. Within them, there are desires that belong to this world, to that world. That's how it's divided. That's all there is to it. All 620 desires are degrees between me and the end of correction. These desires divide into five groups. Each group is concealed in a certain way, revealed by a certain act, receives a certain light. That's why it's called the world. That's all there is to it. Outside of me, there is only his essence. Why shouldn't we escape this world for a short while? Why just do it for a short while? If it's a good thing, let's go for it all the way, all the time. So you're saying we're taking a vacation in order to take the right direction and then go back to this world? You're saying, let's go, take a vacation, cross the barrier, come back to this world, and begin to attract it towards the barrier. We can try it. The thing is that that question is the result of lack of understanding that we are in a degree called this world. It's one of the degrees. It is simply the lowest, the most forgotten, the darkest. That's how it's called. It's called this world. But it's one of the degrees. How can I exit it if I don't work with what's in it? I'm given certain environmental conditions here, which are really my own attributes. Only copied from me outwardly, I see the world according to my inner order. If I order myself internally in a different manner, I'll see spirituality. Because spirituality will reject this picture in favor of the spiritual picture. How can I rid myself of the degree I'm in if everything in it are incorrected desires? And if I don't correct them, I'll not rise higher. How can I escape it? I can perform actions that will seemingly separate me in order to strengthen myself, but I should still go back to this degree in order to bond with it, take from it the necessary coarseness, and to study more with that additional coarseness, and to want to refine it. And again, I have to go to work and to my family, to live with my kids, with my wife, with problems, environmental things, and again, study for a few hours and correct what I've absorbed there. But if I don't absorb my coarseness doesn't bring me to correction, then why do I come study? What should the surrounding light affect? What will it correct? If I am that fine, then what will the light have a grip on? We have no choice but to dip ourselves in this world and bring it to correction. Dip ourselves again and again correct it. All my actions include three situations. This world, with its brainwash, then I want to brainwash myself with my group, society, to help me, and with the coarseness I take from outside, and with the desire I get from my group, with that I come to study. These three means of what we have. That's how we also organize our day. That's called that you. That's the meaning of escaping for of escaping for a few hours and studying for. I don't think that if you go away for a week or for a month, it'll help you, because you'll still need the disturbances of this world. You have not yet absorbed them. You have not yet absorbed enough of them. How can we test it? If you go to some village, seclude yourself, start studying Kabbalah, you will see that after a day or two at the most, you become bored and you can't help it. I should continually get disturbances from this world so that I'll have a need to connect with my friends, to bond with them, to be saved from these disturbances and reach spirituality. Without it, I'll never need society, much less to study. If you think the study will be better because you seclude yourself from this world, that's not the case. It will not be better, it will not be more effective, it will not be at all. It will be completely theoretical without any demand for him. There is no other way for us but to be tied with this life. I too did not leave with my rabbi for a long time, 3 days at most. I was always in contact with normal life. Passover is different. It's a different situation. We put a lot of effort before Passover, and then we enjoy it during Passover. And it is a special week. No other holiday demands so much effort in money and in strain and effort. Societies, people like me, that you put yourself under their influence, to brainwash you, but you have to examine what they give you. Maybe they're not directed correctly. You have to examine it all the time. The mitzvah of the Torah is called, why do I study? What for what purpose? Do I just want to know what it says there? Some people just study. Some people study just for the study. They study by heart. What they want from the study is to know it, to be reminded of it. We're studying not for that. I don't care how much I remember of it. Before I feel, what I remember means nothing. Why does Bala Sulam say that I still have to read it over and over again? Over the definitions, it's in order for me to start working with these definitions, not to make some pictures of them, but to go into them and demand the spiritual meaning. Instead of picturing circles and ups and downs, to demand the inner feeling, what it is, what does it tell us? What each geometrical form, shape tells us. What's important is what I want from the study. Many people study Zohar. But it's just, it's without a proper aim. The question is, what you want from the study? The mitzvah of the Torah is to extract from it the Torah of life, to attain life. He writes about it in Talmud Sefirot. He means not the study, but the result of the study. If I work in the kitchen, and by doing that, I aim to attain something of my life, with my life, that desire that I take there, times the good things that I do for society, times the general desire of society, becomes my desire. By that I acquire desires of others, because I serve them, I'm included in them, and then these desires affect me, direct me correctly, and then when I study, I aim to extract from the Torah the light that reforms, and not to be a great rabbi or something like that. You're saying that the Creator created the evil inclination, and also He created the Torah. It says that He made the light and created the darkness. If He created darkness, how can He create the Torah as a spice? How can He create it? When He creates the Torah as a spice, it's not creation, it's a spice, it's a correction within the will to receive. There's a light, and there's the action of the light within the will to receive. So the spice is that it works with is that the light works in the vessel and changes it to want to be in order to bestow. And the result of the reception in order to bestow is a result that resembles the light. So the light creates the will to receive, and in it he creates the correction in order to bestow. It is all in the will to receive. That's why it's called I created the Torah as a spice. So we're talking not about the Torah, but about its action within the will to receive. That's why it says I created the Torah as a spice, which is added to the will to receive. The act that was performed in the will to receive. That's why it's called creation. It's a new thing. Why is it a new thing? The light creates a will to receive. Out of that, because it is a light of pleasure, it creates a desire to receive pleasure. And then because it's a will to bestow, it awakens in the will to receive the sensation of shame. He once gives me the food, and the second time he shows me that he is the one who does that, that he does that for me, and by that he awakens in me shame, and that too is a separate creation. It's a result of the light. That's the meaning of I created the Torah as a spice, because that makes the Torah, the will to receive, be corrected. That is the spice. It says that dealing with Torah is not allowed in a state of not for her name. Because when a person is an egoist, what does he need the Torah for? If you're a beast, live like a beast. But if you use the light of the Torah to correct yourself and reform yourself, for that you can study Torah. And if not, if you don't do it for that purpose, it's the opposite. You become blind, and the light becomes darkness, and darkness becomes light.